welcome to Healing From Within with your host, Cheryl Glick, and co-host, Tim Fisher. Our program is designed to encourage self-investigation and self-mastery of emotions, thought processes of the mind, and how they inform the physical body. It's time to align your inner essence with your daily physical life for the purpose of promoting positive experiences. Now, here are your hosts, Cheryl Glick and Tim Fisher.
Good morning and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and with me today are co-hosts Tim Fisher and special guest Rabbi Matthew D. Gewirtz, Senior Rabbi at Temple B'nai Jeshurun and author of The Gift of Grief, Finding Peace, Transformation, and Renewed Life After Great Sorrow. Good morning, Rabbi Gewirtz, and good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rabbi Matt.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. Okay. Rabbi Matt, I remember when I first met you 10 years ago, as you were the rabbi who married my daughter Stacy Glick and Jeremy Zirin. Their wedding was at the Toy Building on Fifth Avenue in New York City. And by the way, it was so hot, it was like 102 degrees. I'm sure you remember that.
I do.
After many months of preparation, I simply floated down the aisle. I was so hopeful and joyful, as are, I imagine, most parents while observing a major milestone in their children's lives. And I saw the smiling faces of over 200 guests who returned the smiles to me. And I had no idea that a greater gift than the joy I felt at that moment was in store for me. Stacy and Jeremy had found you on their own to preside over their wedding. I had actually planned to have another rabbi officiate at the ceremony. And I had no knowledge that I was going to hear you speak deep spiritual thoughts that echoed my own thoughts about the exquisite nature of our divine inner essence and also an understanding of our physical ego-based life. At the time, I was deeply engaged in studies of Reiki energy or spiritual healing, meditation and prayer for healing both the soul and physical body, and for reaching a level of higher consciousness in order to further understand eternal energy more fully. You and my children stood under the chuppah so young and with eyes that were so bright and clear. And actually, tears came to my eyes as I heard you speak of the divine sparks of holiness in Stacy and Jeremy that had reached out to each other, and at the same time you had hoped that had connected to a higher source of divine light and wisdom. And in your book, The Gift of Grief, you talk about the gift of transformation and love that is possible by opening ourselves up more deeply to another human being. This opening, or I believe seeking a connection to another soul, is the potential to reach within ourselves to find an understanding of our own divine nature. So, Rabbi Matt, I want to say, would you explain your understanding of the divine spark within and how life situations, not only grief, but other events of great emotion, activate and provide experiences for transformation of our soul energy?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for that beautiful introduction, and also a walk down an aisle of my own that I haven't been down for a while. I so much enjoyed working with your daughter and with your son-in-law, and it just brings back beautiful memories. It's funny, I was thinking back that I remember more the warmth of what was going on inside of that building than I do the temperature that day until you had reminded me. But that only a mother of a bride would remember that so well, of course. I would say the following, that I believe, and this is somewhat based on my traditional belief in Jewish mysticism, that once upon a time, when all of this first started, there was this primal force that many of us call God, many of us call a higher being, and there was a unity, and that unity was broken for lots of different reasons, and that primal light, that unity that existed, was dispersed all over the world. And the deficit, if you will, was that the unity was broken, and the positive was that in the world in which we live, we would have the ability to be able to connect to a very deep part of ourselves and deep part of the higher energy by accessing it in almost every single thing we encounter. So relationship, I'll talk about in a moment, but that those sparks can be seen in the flower. It can be seen in the raindrop. It can be seen on a glistening mountaintop. It can be seen in tears. And by the way, I would even say to people, it could be seen in the taste of a delicious meal that you have, because every single superficial part of the world has a spark that will lead you to the inner part of the world. Relationship, all the more so. There are the initial crushes that we have as kids, and that's lust, and that's, of course, wonderful. But what's beyond all of that is the fact, and I did this past week's reading in the Jewish Bible cycle has this phrase that says, when you find the soul that you are connected to, you are tied into the deeper soul of the world. And when you find love and you find intimate connection, you are also able to find yourself to what once existed when the world was just one. And in fact, I'll say one last thing about that. I said this under the chuppah that night also, that we are told, according to Jewish faith, that there are two times in life that you taste what heaven might be like. And one of those times is under the wedding canopy, that if you want to know what heaven's going to taste like, for those 20 minutes, you get a taste.
That's very beautiful. And I want to say people also always ask me how I, 10 years ago, became interested in spiritual healing, Reiki, mediumship. And I want to say that it was a greater awareness of love, a deep, joyful feeling of love that opened up my quest or started me on a new port of life and understanding these divine sparks and essence and connections. And now I think Tim has a question for you.
So Rabbi Matt, speaking of relationships and perhaps a practical matter, you're a member of the Central Conference of American Rabbis.
Correct.
You've served on a task force to study interfaith marriage. Could you tell us what are your personal observations and the findings of this study, and also what are the advantages of such unions? Perhaps the divine spark of our soul just searches for love without judgment?
Yeah, well, it's a loaded question in today's world for many different reasons, but let's start with the easiest by way of the political question, meaning that this has brought up a lot of angst amongst sociologists and amongst denominations. The easy part is what you say, although it's not finding it, but the easiest part is that love is without judgment. When you fall in love and you find that divine spark, when you find your ultimate partner in life, I say to couples that I would go as far as saying is that it's miraculous. And people say, well, what do you mean? Miracles are things that don't happen often. Well, I say, look around our world and look, just look at the divorce rate in our country, 50%. And then I always think to myself, 50% of those people who are married don't always necessarily live in very happy marriages, which doesn't leave a lot of us in eternally loving relationships, and I understand that not all of us, do we have to be married to have that relationship, but I think you get my point. So to find that kind of spark is miraculous. The problem is, of course, it competes with other parts of our value systems, and it is very, I could tell you as a father of three kids, and I am still 9 years later, 9.5 years later, ultimately, and maybe even more in love with my wife than I was when I married her. But it doesn't mean that life doesn't get hard when the kids get sick and economies collapse and you have to find ways of paying your mortgage and all that. So there are a lot of things that compete with trying to make sure you sustain intimacy. Religion is another one of those things that, since we all have different paths to finding intimacy, or finding religious intimacy in this case, sometimes the way we practice and the way we live also causes conflict. And I do not believe that religion is here to tear anything down. I think it's all about building things up. But I do believe that there are visceral differences that we have when it comes to connecting to the divine. With all that said, I will say that I have come to the understanding that that when people are able to reconcile their differences, meaning they are able to decide how it is that they're going to raise their children, when they believe that they understand how it is that the home is going to exist spiritually, and there's some kind of consistency or even discipline, and you can ask me more about what I mean in a moment, but when all that happens, then there are certain cases where interfaith marriage can work fine. But I think that these things all have to be put onto the table with very vulnerable, open communication, because if they're not, I think people end up surprised by how conflictual all this can be, and ends up disrupting their ultimate intimate connection that was once very beautiful.
I think, Rabbi Matt, what you said was communication and truly listening to the other person to see if they are able to go forward with certain challenges. There's no challenge too big if you're willing and able
to really
make the changes that are necessary to adapt and to find joy and peace within yourself.
But some people can't. I mean, and it's why it's important to have these conversations. There are two points of view on interfaith marriage. One says, don't worry, keep on loving each other, you'll work it out. And some say, let's talk about as much of this as we can so you can sort of be present in all the feelings that may arise when these questions come up. And what do I mean by that? I mean, sometimes people get married and they have their first child, and one parent says, my goodness, I've been waiting for a Jewish baby naming my whole life. And the other parent says, I've been waiting for a baptism for my kid my whole life. And they are really ultimately in love, but neither of them had ever talked about what it would feel like taking their child into one place or the other. Of course, a bris would be a better example, because that is, you know, can be very violent for some people.
So this has to be discussed beforehand.
Correct.
Very much.
That's my
before
opinion.
The marriage. I
Correct.
Agree with you there. And, I think we're going to be taking a break in a minute, so before I ask you another question, I very much like what you just said. Everything is possible. It's just a matter of listening and communicating intently from your heart and soul, not just from your ego and mind and the physical life. So getting to the depth of who you really are as a human being and as a spiritual being, that would make better marriages no matter what.
I agree with that.
Interfaith marriage or, you know, between the same parties and in the same religion. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree that ultimately our ego can get in the way of sharing our most inner self in the most depth-filled of ways. And they are very good in terms of protecting ourselves in certain moments, but they also have to be, we have to be very careful how we balance our ego with our inner self.
Okay, and on that, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Creating the life you desire is all about what the past, your thoughts and beliefs, can manifest in your future. Host Deborah Crossman will have you call in for a live reading regarding a loved one or experience from your past or a future prediction to give you the insight and focus that you need. She'll also teach you to use the law of attraction to help bring the things you want while keeping it from bringing the things you don't want. Tune in to Creating the Life You Desire with Deborah Crossman, Mondays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on Seventh Wave Network.
The Mayan calendar tells us that we will be entering into a 260-day opportunity for us to engage in conscious co-creation with Great Spirit. How will we prepare ourselves for this exciting and unprecedented time in Earth's history? Peter Tong has dedicated over 20 years of his life's work to exploring that which is beyond understanding. Peter will help increase your awareness and education on this enlightening transformation in consciousness. Awakening to Conscious Co-Creation airs live Wednesdays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
The events of the world are not random. Rather, they're reflections of the collective consciousness and send ripple effects through our collective psyche. Now, there's a program that offers a heart-based spiritual view of the world around us. Tune in to On the World with host Jen Aramuth. Explore the connection between world events and universal patterns, as well as your personal journey. On the World with Jen Aramuth airs live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned in to Healing from Within with Cheryl Glick and Tim Fisher. We'd love to hear from you on our program today. Please call 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. Or if you prefer, you can send an email to starsforus@optonline.net. That's stars, the number four, us, at optonline.net. Now, back to Healing from Within.
And we're back. This is Healing from Within with our host, Cheryl Glick, the author of Life is No Coincidence. And our special guest today is Rabbi Matthew Gewirtz. He's a senior rabbi at Temple B'nai Jeshurun and author of The Gift of Grief, Finding Peace, Transformation, and Renewed Life After Great Sorrow.
Welcome back. Rabbi Matt, many people ask me as an intuitive hands-on energy healer about the differences between religion and spirituality. Simply put, in my own simple way, I believe religion is a man-made system of beliefs and traditions passed down by ancestors and geared towards uplifting us to a more positive life with purpose. And spirituality is a way to individually learn more about oneself and master our own physical and divine connection in a very personal way to higher consciousness or connection to divine energy. Can you take these thoughts and share your expertise on this very confusing issue for many of our listeners?
Yeah, I'll say, first of all, that was beautifully said. I'd like to use that in my next sermon. That was beautifully said. I guess my language would be a tiny bit different and say that, let me preface this by saying many, many, many people in my congregation will say to me, you know, Rabbi, I'm not really religious, but I'm very spiritual. And I find that most of them don't necessarily have the language that you just used to explain what they mean. They're onto something. They're not exactly sure what they're onto. So I'll say that's point one. Point two is that I would say religion is the framework, is a framework, because I think we said this during our break together, that I do believe that any religion, as long as it's not a religion about violence or you know, somehow hurting other people, every religion is a path to the same place, which is to the divine, to God. And I think we're all brothers and sisters in that regard. So religion is a framework that we use to get to a place of spirituality. So man-made, probably. Inspired by God, absolutely. And so I, only reason the man-made part makes me a little bit nervous is a man or a woman can create anything and say that it is religious. I do believe that there's a difference between...
Well, perhaps some people have, in times past, in history, done that. You know, not taken the exact meaning of higher energy and used it for their own purposes. You know?
That's correct. And that's, by the way, that's ego. That's so...
Right.
If someone makes believe in the name of religion that they are going to, and we know some of the infamous examples in our own past decade that people have said that God told me to go and commit horrible acts of violence, that to me is an ego your ego talking to you and thinking that you have communication with God. Now, the last thing I would say on this religion spirituality issue is that I think religion has done a really, I'm going to critique my own profession. We've done a really lousy job at allowing the doctrinaire, the contrived part, the institutional part of religion has become so stoic and so hierarchical and so talk at you, sing at you, that people, there was nothing left spiritual about it, to be honest. And it became a performance. And people started to leave institutional religion because they weren't getting ultimately what they wanted, which is a spiritual connection to the divine. And the people that were left, many of whom were people who really were there for the Stoicism. So now you have institutional religion that's trying to bring spirituality back into its doors. And you have some people left there who are very happy hiding behind what made them feel really good about themselves, which was not necessarily connecting to depth. And so there's a struggle now within the institution of people who are there for a show. And by the way, a beautiful, let's even call it a sacred show, but not one that's transformative, versus those who say, I want this place to be trajectory changing. I want it to really, and trajectory changing means being vulnerable enough to connect to the depth of what, again, I will call the unity or God or the Holy One of Blessing.
Well, Rabbi Matt, Cheryl has often said to me she's worked long and hard and shared with many people her journey to allow, accept, and surrender to each experience in her own life, whether good or bad. In doing so, she's attempted to discover each event as an opportunity to seek a new awareness of both her physical emotions and her soul presence for an improved and more positive view of life. Can you expound on these concepts?
I believe that, and I agree with that, I believe that every interaction, especially those that we circle in our lives as, you know, the one that Cheryl started with, which was the marriage of her daughter, each of these moments are moments that I call them Sinai moments. Why? In the Jewish tradition, that's where, of course, God first revealed God's self to the people. And what's telling about that piece of scripture is that there is no talking. There is thunder, there's lightning, there is shaking of a mountain, there is awe, there's excitement, there's fear, there's love, there's all the dichotomous feelings one can feel in the world. And very rarely in life do you have such disparate feelings and emotions occurring at one time. So I basically say, when else in life do we feel those again, dichotomous feelings? And I think at a wedding, at a birth, at a first day of something new, of an accomplishment that we didn't expect, and of course, you know, what I've written my book about, at moments of deep sorrow, of deep loss. These are all moments where at the same time that you're feeling complete and utter attachment, you are at the same time paradoxically fearful of attaching yourself. We want so badly to be connected to God, but it is such an intense and vulnerable making feeling. There's a part of us that wants to run away at the same time. So anytime we encounter any of those events, we are literally struck by, you know, we are struck by that moment. And the interesting thing is you don't know you've been in that moment until it's over. Think about all those feelings, the tears, the chills, the hair standing on your arms. All that is a reaction to what you just felt. While you're in connection with God in that ultimate way, you don't know it until the experience is over.
I think, Rabbi Matt, you never really forget those moments.
Never.
Because those are the soulful moments that lift us up to truly being connected to divine energy or God.
I wanted
to go to something else that you wrote about in your book. You referred to quantum physics, which describes the universe's energy, and the fact that psychology and medicine have terms for life as energy. Furthermore, you discuss the chakra structures of the body. And as a Reiki practitioner, it is my function to help the energy flow through the chakras so people can release blockages and relax these chakras for greater health and also for a better understanding of their inner life or energy force or presence. What experiences have you had that led you to use this energy-based language of spirituality in reaching your readers?
I would say that I am a complete novice in the technical terms. Those are things I had to research to understand, but what I would say is these are by way of experience. What do I mean by that? I mean that I have had times in my life where when I am, again, vulnerable, aware, open to deep relationship, generous of heart, open of heart and spirit, I have free-flowing energy throughout my body that continues to help me be more creative and more loving and more generous and more connecting to the divine. And then there are moments... Thank you. And then there are moments where I'm angry and I'm jealous and I am judgmental and I am nasty and I'm here, I'm live on the air, I'm telling you that I too am all those things, just like everyone else. But when those things happen, I came up with a word when I was a first-year rabbinic student called, I'm experiencing soul blocks today. I only thought of that because...
Soul blocks.
So that was my own, because I must have been walking someplace around Jerusalem my first year of rabbinic school, and they were always doing construction in Jerusalem. Holiest city in the world, you can't get any place. And so there were these roadblocks, and I kept on thinking to myself, here I am in this sacred city, I can't get to the old city. This is like how I feel inside. I have soul blocks. And when that happens, I think we get really stuck. And by the way, I am not a psychologist, so I have to be very careful here, but I'm going to posit that in those moments when your energy doesn't move, that's what starts to lead to depression. Because
absolutely, all disease comes from those blockages.
From being stuck, right? Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
So when you're broken, and your pieces are still moving, it means you're okay. I mean, you may be broken, but the pieces are moving. You have an opportunity for the pieces to heal. If the pieces are broken and stuck,